Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith. Every single week, I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean. He doesn't take it real seriously. He's got why is that marker so wide?
I know. This is what the kids are using these days, Clayton.
I don't think so.
They really are.
I don't think so. This feels like what an old person thinks the kids might be using.
Yep. It's called Sharpie shovel tip. I don't know what that means. That seems weird.
But that sounds like a sex thing. Is this a sex thing?
No. Although I am looking at my washing machine, which is, again, within arm's reach. Mm-hmm. And all the settings on it appear to be sex things.
Go ahead.
There's the deep fill setting.
Yeah. Wait, I'm sorry. Deep fill?
Deep fill. It's currently set to auto.
Uh-huh.
There's the soil setting.
Sure.
Yeah.
Everyone's into something.
And then finally, there's a button on the end that I dare not touch, simply called extra power.
I'm talking about this deep fill. What could that possibly refer to in the context
I don't
of
know.
A washing machine?
There's four settings. Auto, which again, I don't want to move it off of
that. Yeah, don't touch that.
Medium, high, and max. I don't know what any of those things do.
Yeah.
It's kind of got like the movie theater popcorn sizing thing going on. There's no small. There's medium, high, and max, which I don't know.
And who's max?
So, anyway, not fucking with that one.
Okay, that's fine. How's your day today?
It's terrible.
Good.
just terrible. All three kids started new schools today.
Uh-huh.
Every kid was in a new school. Amy went back to work. You know, so
sounds
it was
good.
Just, it was awesome.
It's cool.
For somebody. I don't know who. Somebody I bet had a good day today.
Oh, me? Let me tell you about my week. Thank you for asking.
Hey, hang on. Uh-huh. Before you get to that, how was your week, buddy?
Hey, thank you so much for asking. I'll tell you, it's been a tough one, Pat. Last Thursday, let's start here. I have to work tomorrow.
Whoa, tomorrow? On a Tuesday?
Yeah.
Do they not
know? It's the first day of work tomorrow.
It's the Lord's Day?
The Lord's Day extends from Sunday till Friday midnight, mm-hmm. and then Saturday is vacation day,
mm-hmm.
and it's been going pretty well most of the summer, but now I have to work tomorrow because school starts in a week. School starts on Monday, next Monday for the college, so I have meetings all day tomorrow.
Ugh, meetings.
Listen, you know what time they start?
Mm-hmm.
9 a.m.
You said work, but then you said meetings, so I'm confused here.
That's my work. I go to meetings. These are...
Listening to people talk?
Yeah. Yeah, that's work, friend.
Mm.
That's work. Being an active listener is hard work. And if you understood that, then maybe you and Amy would be doing a little bit better these days.
So would the podcast.
I got to go to work tomorrow. So last week was my last week of kind of summer freedom, right, before going back. And so I had a lot of plans, a lot of big plans, which mostly involves getting ready for the work that I should have been getting ready for all summer long and not doing. So Thursday comes along and I'm at my office at school. I'm doing some cool work, some good stuff, getting prepared. And I get a phone call from Ivy's daycare that she has to go home because she has a really bad rash.
Oh,
so we take her to the doctor and I say, doctor, listen, I want Ivy to feel better. Also though, can you give her a note to get her back in school immediately? And the doctor says, well, let's see. So they poke around and stuff. And she has hand, foot, and mouth disease.
Oh, no.
Now, here's the thing about hand, foot, and mouth disease.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor says it hasn't been contagious for 4 days at this point. So I'm like, oh, my poor baby. She said, oh, my gosh. Can you give us some, like, ointment, some antibiotic? Like, we gotta help this poor child.
Sure.
Also, but she could go back, right?
Right. You said contagious, no. Said,
yeah.
So.
And the doctor says, yeah, she's going to go back to school, I think, tomorrow. And I said, okay, well, at least I have my Friday.
Right.
Friday.
Yeah. Also, again, doc, not to put too fine a point on it, need a piece of paper saying that. Okay.
I'm going to need your pen. Get your pen out of there. Click, click, click. There you go. So, the doctor gives her the clear. So Aaron and I are talking Thursday night and I say, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, it'll be good because I'll be back in school. And Aaron goes, I think we should keep her home another day.
And
I said, Aaron.
Aaron,
you're killing me. And she said, well, Ivy's just been crying all day long, and I think she should probably stay home. And I said, I know, but listen, I've been crying on the inside all day.
The doctor wrote this very clear note stating,
Yeah. Who are you going to believe? Ivy? Ivy's three.
Yeah.
This doctor has been a doctor for a long time, went to a lot of school. She knows what she's talking about. But then we decided to keep Ivy home. We as a pair, we came to the conclusion together that we would keep Ivy home on Friday.
Sounds like a compromise. You met in the middle.
Right? We met in the middle, and we did what Aaron wanted. And and so we're going to keep Ivy home. But at least Maple's going to go. Maple's in kindergarten. That's, you know, so whatever.
Right.
Except on Friday morning at like 4:30 in the morning, Aaron's phone starts lighting up with text messages.
Oh.
And I'm curious, but I'm also sleepy. So I go back to bed. And then when I wake up at like 6, I say, hey, what was going on with your phone? She goes, well, turns out the city of Stanton has broken a water main. Now, Stanton is a very small town. There is one water main. And so there is no water to the entire city.
Oh.
Including our house.
Mm-hmm.
More importantly, including all the schools and daycares.
Mm.
And so everyone is closed on Friday. So we wake up to not just our children being out of school, but the entire town's worth of children being out of school. And so all the parents are texting us, and we're texting them, like, what do we do? I was like, I don't know. We weren't prepared for this. This is terrible news. I don't know. We're all panicking. So Aaron and I said, you know what? Let's Ted Cruz this one, and let's just leave town. And so we went on Airbnb, and we got a little condo for the weekend in a really, it's a cute little mountain ski resort, about 30 minutes away up in the Blue Ridge Mountains.
Wow.
We go there. So it was great. That was good.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't, so then we come home today.
Uh-huh. And, today?
Sorry, last night.
Okay.
Time is a flat circle. And we came home last night, and the water is still bad. Oh. So we're still like boiling water and using like bottled water and stuff until like noon today.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's not ready, because they had to do all the tests, two tests, they take 16 hours each or whatever, because it's fucking 2025.
Yeah.
Let's get faster tests, friends. So
it's like 2025. The water will stop being bad if we stop testing the water, guys. That's how this works now.
Also, all water is going to be bad soon.
Yeah.
So let's just start getting used to it, everybody. Let's pull together and just accept the ecological disaster that's happening. So, because, of course, the water cannot be tested until noon today, schools are still closed. Once again, today, Maple's home. Now, the daycare was open because they give no fucks, I guess. They got hand, foot, and mouth disease. They got bacteria in the water. Who cares? So, we sent Ivy to daycare. But Maple's home all day. And then I watched her friend, our provost's daughter, for a few hours today. Because he had to work. He had to like meetings today.
Right. Yeah.
And he and his wife had meetings today. And they're like, hey. You don't work nearly as much as we do, and we know that. So we watch our daughter, and I say, yeah. So anyway, so all that is to say, it's been terrible, and I didn't take any notes for tonight.
Oh, this is an interesting time to tell me that, because we've been recording for 10 minutes.
I just joked, and I spat on my keyboard. Hold on a second.
That's fine.
I think the reality of the panic of what is about to transpire really just hit me all of a sudden.
I'm impressed that you know yourself well enough that you keep a roll of paper towels in the office.
Oh.
Assuming that's what
I spent the first 2 weeks in this basement office not keeping a roll of paper towels down here, and I was going upstairs constantly.
Sometimes twice an hour.
So.
Never mind.
shut up. I told you the kids have been home. It's not been that frequent. God. So I don't have any notes. I didn't take any notes for tonight.
Okay.
That's fine. You said you didn't want to record tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm unavailable tomorrow night. I am available Wednesday night, and yet
I can't do Wednesday.
You said no Wednesday night, so
I have a YouTube show that I do on Wednesdays.
What?
So I gotta,
All right, well, whatever.
Yeah, it's my other time. Ben Wallace and I do record for our YouTube show, A Billion Bad Ideas.
Which, that's right.
For the first time,
I remember Ben telling me about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got that going on, so I can't cancel that. I think actually Patrick Lawler is going to come and join us. The voice of the Apocalypticon series.
Right.
Is going to call in, I think. So I can't reschedule Patrick. Obviously. That's a big get.
Yeah.
It's a big get. So we're doing this tonight, but I do have a story for you, but it's so we're going to, you know, this podcast really is about innovation.
It is. Yes. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
It's about pushing the envelope. It's about new ideas. It's about Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Nope. I thought that was going to be a more... I thought it was going to be different. So it's about... So I have an innovative idea for us tonight.
Okay. I'm game.
I want to tell you a ghost story.
Right.
I want to tell you a true ghost story. That's the whole deal.
Right. Legally, we have to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
To retain our Spotify classification.
to retain our spot at 17 million and a half. We have to do that. And so, but I didn't have a story, and I worked with a partner on this one.
Okay.
It's probably the best way to put it.
Right.
I asked for help, and I said, let's co-write this one together.
Okay. Fair enough. Partner was, I'm guessing, Jen.
No, but you know, Jen did send me, I'm not joking, today, a single document with over 25 individual stories for Ghosties and Smith Show.
Jen, you make my job so much harder around October when I have to do the two haunts and a flaunt when you send him 25 ghost ideas.
And I said, Jen, first of all, thank you. This is really great. Second of all, couldn't it have been one long story? Because I need one. I'm in a pinch. So no, not Jen. No, I found I'm going to work with a different partner today, like a new partner, giving a new kid a chance.
Okay, fair enough.
This has been a partner. It's been part of the show before.
Mm.
Today I present to you a story that I took notes in partnership with a little guy called ChatGPT.
GPT. Yeah, I heard you.
Now.
Yeah. Okay.
Here's what I thought would happen. I thought I would say, ChatGPT, let me upload my notes from an old show.
Right.
So you can kind of get my flow and my voice and everything.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll give it to you. And then you do that. You just do that for a real ghost story.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that. And then what came back was absolute garbage.
Right. Right. Correct.
And I thought, this is unusable.
Right.
So then I spent the next about 40 minutes trying to train ChatGPT to actually write better notes for the story.
Mm-hmm. Now, how long does it take you to take notes for a show normally?
About 35 minutes.
I'm liking this. This is going to pay dividends here. Not for you, obviously.
And I think what we came up with is a pretty good story.
Okay.
It's hard for me to tell how long this is going to be because the formatting is quite different.
ChatGPT is still generating text in the background as we speak.
Still going. And it's not in my preferred. I tried to tell it 5 times. No, I just want it bulleted like this. And I showed it. Mm-hmm. And it's being very obstinate. It's demanding more creative control than that. But that's okay. That's what creative partnerships are all about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Whether your partner is, a human being who's, taking time out of his Monday to be on a podcast show, or a big copyright infringing bunch of ones and zeros.
So. Yeah. Now, I will say, in terms of the copyright infringement, I don't want people to worry about that part. I know that's a big AI, a big demerit in the AI column.
It is a bit of a black eye. I'll give you that.
However, this I think is fine because this is a true story.
Okay. Can't copyright true stuff.
Cannot copyright the truth, my friend. Truth will be the truth will always be free is how the saying goes.
I recall that.
Mm-hmm. So that's what we got going on today. So that's. Do you have any final words before we embark on this grand adventure?
No. I mean, obviously I'm doing all this under protest, but that was a given.
Yeah. it's just another week. Season 2 has really taken some fun turns. So we'll see how this goes. All right. Well, are you ready to hear a ghost story?
Yes, please.
That seems appropriate. All right. The year is 1901.
I got that part right.
Probably. The place is Elizabeth City, North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
We're in northeastern North Carolina.
Right.
Not too far from my stomping grounds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Elizabeth City. You've never been to Elizabeth City.
Obviously. I have not. No, I've connected through there before. I've never actually stayed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So, it's situated on the Pasquotank River. Mm-hmm. That's probably how you pronounce that.
It is.
Is that a real river, do you think? Or is ChatGPT?
That doesn't seem like a real one.
All right. I guess it should go. The silent understood disclaimer is I don't know if any of this is accurate. It's situated on the Pascatonk River. It served in 1901 as a transportation and shipping hub for lumber,
mm-hmm.
fish, and farm products
mm-hmm.
moving to and from the Albemarle Sound.
Okay.
So it's close to the coast.
Sure. Yeah.
It's a little inland.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Savannah of the North.
Carolina. Yeah.
Yeah. Its waterfront is lined with mills, warehouses, docks. It's a big shipping hub.
Mm-hmm.
It became a big shipping hub right about 1704 because they had dug a canal through the dismal swamp. Now, this one I did double check because I thought there's no way there's a swamp in North Carolina called Dismal Swamp. And there is. There is a Dismal Swamp, mm-hmm. which is, I saw pictures, and it is aptly named.
It was not a creative time in our nation's history, really. No. 1704, we did not have time. Like, what do you want to call this town? I don't know. What's your wife's name again? Elizabeth. Elizabeth Town. That's this one.
Good, good. What do you call this swamp? Looks so sad.
I don't know. Swamp? No, let me think of the last time I met your wife. Dismal Swamp.
Dismal Swamp. It was a Dismal Swamp, that's for sure. So they dug a canal called the Dismal Swamp Canal.
It's such a shame the Panama Canal got named second, because this would have been a much, much better name.
So this makes it possible now for bigger boats to come like across the Atlantic Ocean and bigger boats to come up further inland, right? Which is Elizabeth City. So Elizabeth City's like,
mm-hmm.
yay, boom town. It's boom. It's time to boom.
Mm-hmm.
Time to go boom.
Time to boom in the Dismal Swamp.
Okay. The Dismal Swamp Canal. So the population hovers now around, by 1901, is that right? I don't know. At some point in history, the population was around 6,000. So the city had a mix of kind of long-established families,
mm-hmm.
but it also is a boom town. So, of course, there's a lot of newcomers coming there to sure. seize on this opportunity.
Absolutely.
Fish and lumber.
Mm-hmm.
And fish lumber. there are churches, like, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Newspapers like The Economist would show up. They would cover local politics and gossip.
The Economist would come to.
I can't fact check everything. It's gonna take all night.
I don't.
Is The Economist published? Yeah, 1843.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Spent a lot of time in Elizabeth City, North Carolina.
It's a major shipping hub. It's where the economy happens.
Do you know how many fish they move through that city?
And lumber.
Dozens.
Are you listening?
Dozens of fish.
Dozens. No, it's a lot. I bet it's a lot. It's an economic hub. I don't know how many mm-hmm. times I have to tell you that ChatGPT called it an economic hub.
It's totally fine.
And a shipping hub. It's also got a growing middle class. Economists love a fucking growing middle class. Middle out politics. So the town is you know, it's a small town, but it's growing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not isolated. By 1901, the Norfolk and Southern Railroad connected Elizabeth City to larger markets. Telegraph lines were installed. That was pretty exciting. Carried national news in the town every single day
mm-hmm.
without stopping. It was the kind of place where everyone knew everyone else. And that means reputations mattered enormously. A scandal didn't just make the front page. It became the defining story of the town. What I like about ChatGPT's notes is that it takes a real, like, true crime approach, you know? What's that, what's, like, Serial? This is, like, we're like Serial now. We're going to compete with the big guys.
Yeah. I feel like it's been trained on a lot of the podcasts that were more successful than ours. Mm-hmm. And while I appreciate that, I don't really want to be a more successful podcast. So
you feel like you're doing just enough work as it is?
This is...
Yeah, more notoriety is not a good thing for us.
Absolutely not. I'm very happy treading water in like the 4 foot depth that we're in right now. I can always put my feet down, touch the bottom if I need to.
Okay. Well, So we're gonna take a quick break here. So, first blush, early feedback after just the first kind of few minutes is no more ChatGPT. Is that you're feeling? You're not feeling like great about it.
Like after this episode, I don't want to stop this episode. I got the computer all set up.
We're gonna do the episode.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I copied and pasted all of this into a Word document. We're doing the fucking episode.
I had to sign up for the $7 a month version of ChatGPT to be able to do this. So we're doing it. I would say probably person notes are a little more personable. Yeah. So.
This is great news for all the artists out there. ChatGPT can't replace you.
Mm-hmm.
Can't replace you.
It's the old John Henry legend right here. That's, you know,
that's right. Now John Henry died.
Correct. Yes.
So it's a cautionary tale. Really, you should just let the machines take over. Don't bother. Anyway, so let's move on. So one of the new families that came down to explore the opportunities in this boom town. Was the Cropsies.
The who?
Am I boring you?
No, I'm sorry. that was an incredulous gasp that's interrupted by an incredulous yawn.
It's like, you know, when dogs yawn, it's because they're thinking. Mm-hmm. Like that's what you just did. Like exactly. You really set your brain spinning. the Cropsies.
Cropsies. Okay.
Cropsies. The Cropsy family. You got your dogsies. You got your homesies. Mm-hmm. You got your Cropsies. Your own little homesteadsies.
And now they're here.
And they were from New Jersey. And they moved to Elizabeth City in 1898. And they bought a big old house on the riverside, a big plantation. I think they were in New Jersey and they were like, man, if we moved south, other people could do the work for us. And so now you're thinking again. Okay. So they do. So the father was William Cropsey. He was a wealthy businessman. He was a landowner. He was from a very prominent New Jersey family, and his money and status made the family notable. Like immediately upon arrival, everyone's mm-hmm. like, "Here's another one of those rich idiots from up north. Come down to spend all their money here and put us in these golden handcuffs." His wife was Mary Louise Cropsey. She was known as a devout and socially active woman.
Hmm.
Probably made lots of casseroles for things.
Mm-hmm. Those sourdough starter kits, handing them out to everybody.
Great, great COVID times. Let's see. And then they had 9 children in total.
Oof.
And ChatGPT really struggled to find the names of all of them, which makes me think 4 of them, 5 of them might not have made it.
I would love to hear what ChatGPT names all 9 of these children.
Okay. Let's see. There's... This is also not in order of age, which is
that's fine.
Frustrating. I like to do it in order of age, but I didn't have time to do the research. I spent all my time correcting ChatGPT. So there was Louise Matilda Cropsey, who was also referred to as simply just Louise. It's helpful little note. let's see. Aletta Jeanette, who is known as Letty.
Mm-hmm.
William Hardy Cropsey Jr. Olive Cecile, who went by Ollie. I think Ollie was the oldest one.
Okay.
And then the second oldest was Ella Maud Cropsey, and she went by Nell.
Oh. Is this the story of Nell?
Is this the story of Jodie Foster. And then some guy shot the president. Yeah, so that's, how many is that? That's 5.
Yeah.
And then the other 4, no names for them. So I don't think they're alive.
This new GPT-5 model, I'm impressed. It's just, not just like making people's names up anymore. It's like.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah. It's pretty good. Well, as far as we know, like, these could all be made up.
Just ran out of steam.
So the family is it's respectable. They're wealthy. Of course, they're educated. And in town, people like them in town.
Mm.
People are like, all right, this is fine, upstanding, good Christian folk who are rich and own lots of slaves. We like it. We're comfortable here.
And what year is this?
This story pick up in 1901.
Okay.
So probably not slaves anymore.
Probably not a whole lot of slaves.
Is that what you're getting at?
Maybe a couple under the table, but not a lot.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking 1801 in my head, even though that's I kept fine. Saying 1901. Jeremy, could you just go back and cross out all those references I made to slavery? Or you know what? Let's just say it's 1801.
Whatever's easier, Jeremy.
I'm bleeding.
More paper towels.
Hold on a second. I need more paper towels. Boy, it's good to be back, isn't it?
Ain't it?
Okay. Anyway, so we're in 1901.
Mm-hmm.
We're 1901. Nell, now second oldest one, she's 19 years old. The newspapers have described Nell as attractive, popular, and intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, she had grown up in some privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And so she would always attend social events, and she was very popular around town. One article I did look at that was not ChatGPT, a contemporary article at the time, said that Nell and Ollie were two of the most beautiful women in town.
Two of the most beautiful women
in Elizabeth City.
In a fish trading town.
In a fish trading town. And I'll let you be the judge. Here is Nell, probably at the age of 19. This is probably.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
She seems nice enough.
She's got dead eyes. So that's Nell.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's see. Where are my notes? Here we go. So. In 1901, at the age of 19, she's now old enough to be married.
Right.
Right. And actually, she's probably getting a little
long in the tooth.
A bit long in the tooth there. And so she starts being courted by young men. And one of those men is Jim Wilcox. Jim Wilcox, his Christian name is James, but mm-hmm. he goes by Jim.
Yeah.
He is, let's see, the son of William Wilcox. And William is the former sheriff of Pasquotank County.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still involved in local politics. So the Wilcox family is very well known, but they're also very established. So unlike the Cropseys, who have just moved to town, this family's been around for a long time.
Okay. I see how this is going. Yeah. So we got to get some cred, right? We got to, so you got to marry off one of yours with one of theirs. I know how this works.
We have got to spread this gene pool out a little bit more than we've been doing. So can we borrow one of yours? Accounts of Jim describe him as quiet, brooding, and socially awkward.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong
with that. So that's the trifecta. He gets a reputation for being a little jealous and moody in his relationship with Nell.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the local families, both the newer ones and the ones who are more established, they don't think that they're necessarily a good match, because they like her family a lot and they think Jim is kind of a waste. Or as ChatGPT puts it, he has uncertain prospects. So by late 1901, Nell and Jim had now been courting for several years, which I think means it's not going to happen for Jim. That's like, I don't know, more than 6 months. And if you're not married, that relationship's over. There were rumors that Nell, was considering ending the relationship, fittingly enough. And so on one evening, November 20th, 1901, the Cropsey family's at home. They're in their parlor. They're hanging out, doing stuff that you do in 1901 in parlors.
Playing Uno.
Definitely. Uno was definitely available then. When was Uno invented?
1894.
This is one of those things where you were going to be dead on, and I'm going to be so mad.
No, it's probably like
1896. No, I'm just kidding. 1971.
Yeah, that's kind of
these colors are way too vibrant to be to be turn of the century. Okay, so anyway, so they're playing Uno, and there's a knock on the door, and it's Jim Wilcox. He arrives around 8:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
to call on Nell.
Uh-huh.
Now, yeah, so that seems pretty late to me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, since you are a study of the society of the early 1900s, you are probably already aware that when you call on someone that you are you're in a relationship with, what that means is you sit in the parlor with their entire family.
Oh, it's not like out. You're not like booty calling on them.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Or at least, unless the family is super cool and stuff.
It's okay. I'm going to wait them out. I think I got time.
The old guy's going to go to bed before I am, yeah. for sure. So he arrives at 8:30, calls on now the whole family, including Ollie, the oldest sister. They just remain in the room, hanging out, and they're mm-hmm. they're just doing their thing. That's romance. And that's mm-hmm. and now what else do you need? Sometime around 11 p.m., Jim asks Nell if she'll step outside with him.
Oh, okay.
And Nell says, I will step outside with you, Jim. And they head on out the front door. 15 minutes later, Jim comes back. But Nell is not with him.
Oh, okay.
So Ollie says, where's Nell?
Mm-hmm.
And Jim tells Ollie that Nell had already gone to bed. She had gone to bed early. Now,
75 years before Jedi mind tricks were invented, this is not going well.
When it said Jim did not have good prospects, I think we're starting to see why.
Yeah. Oh, Nell. I thought you said jelly. I don't want any jelly. I'm going to bed, though.
Bye. So he says Nell had gone to bed early. Now, Ollie says, what are you talking about?
Yeah, there's just the one door guy.
this is bad. He's like, yeah, no, she, mm-hmm. I don't know what to tell you. She came back in bed.
Mm-hmm.
Came back and went to bed. And she's like, well, why are you here? And he's like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And he's like, but she's definitely upstairs. So Ollie is like, well, okay, let's go check her room. Mm-hmm. So they go check her room, and you'll be shocked to learn this. Nell is not there.
She must have jumped out the window. No. That's good enough, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Jeremy cut out the other ones where I missed.
Nope.
So the room's empty. The family searches the whole house. Now, again, I will say there are people in the parlor. They're pretty, like, she's not in the house, everybody. And they search the grounds also, but Nell's not there. And they cannot find her.
Mm.
The next morning, the neighbors join in. And soon, everybody in Elizabeth City is looking for Nell. Because Nell has disappeared.
Mm-mm-mm.
So that was on November 20th. On November 21st, local papers report on her disappearance. And it's crazy, but people immediately suspect Jim.
What? But she went to bed.
I know.
Isn't that his fault?
He keeps telling them that.
His story is not changing. It's terrible, but his story is not changing.
He has a really good lawyer who's like, listen, just toe this fucking line. You'll be fine. So Jim is the main suspect. But of course, there's no body.
Right.
There's no, like, there's no crime.
Right.
Having been committed as far as they can prove.
And there's no way that Jim's soft hands could have harmed anybody.
Right. There's nothing but the crime of love here. Crime of soft, tender love. And this goes on for a few weeks. The case gains regional and then national attention. And newspapers start calling it the Cropsey Mystery. Just kind of a cute title.
It is, but you really don't want that with your name attached to it.
Definitely not.
Absolutely.
But you could see like a cozy mystery.
Yeah.
About it, you know. Like maybe, I don't know, something in like Scandinavia.
Like who broke my coffee cup type thing.
Yeah.
Not, you know, who probably murdered my daughter.
Yeah. Well, let's see how it turns out. We don't know if she's dead. On December 6th, newspaper reports describe extensive river searches. Now they're dredging the river.
Oh, in December?
In December.
Sounds miserable.
Bad job.
The Dismal River?
They probably dredged the Dismal Swamp, yeah.
Okay, now the name is starting to make more sense. Like every time I come out
this
to dredge,
they rename it.
Every time I come out to dredge this swamp for young, beautiful women drowned before their time, I think to myself, why did we name it this?
I would just, if we call it the Sunshine Canal,
yeah,
that at least would have been like kind of a fun thing to look forward to, you know? Branding goes a long way. They're dredging the river. They're using new technology like submarine lights. Lights that work under the water.
Yeah. I'm sure that works really well in the river.
So creepy. Fuck. And then this goes on. So that was December 6th. I started Dredging the River. This started on November 20th. After more than 5 weeks, on December 27th, 1901, Nell's body is finally discovered in the Pasquotank River.
Oof.
About 100 yards from the family home.
So close.
So close. Why did it take them 5 weeks to find it?
Yeah.
Dredging that river. Examiners ruled drowning as a cause of death.
Mm-hmm.
Some people speculated about a head injury, but no consensus emerged.
Mm. So. You can blame the dredging equipment for that. It's not a gentle, not a gentle.
I mean,
tool.
There's a head injury now for sure. But oh man, the Cropsey mystery has no detective heroes here. So newspapers described the discovery in detail. The Cordell Sentinel in January of 02 noted that the body was, quote, well-preserved and easily identified. So you think that would probably tip you off as to whether or not there was a head wound. Public outrage was immediate. Naval reserves were mobilized. Bars in Elizabeth City were closed down.
Oh.
Which is like, now you've ruined it for everybody. Yeah,
Jim is like getting less popular by the day at this point. Oh my God.
Like, it was already not good, but now, man. Like, okay, we feel really bad for Nell. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. But now you're affecting everyone. And Jim is moved to jail, not because he's arrested, but for his own safety.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yep. In March 1902, then, Jim he's arrested in January, and in March, his trial begins officially.
Mm-hmm.
So he is now on trial for the murder of Nell Cropsey. Of course, it's a huge spectacle. It draws big crowds. The courtroom is packed every day. Spectators are paying fees for standing room.
Hey.
Which is a pretty, pretty good scam from the city. So Ollie testifies, and then the sister, she testifies, and then others. Everyone agrees that he was the last person that Nell was seen with. Ollie tells everyone, like, yeah, he walked out 50 minutes later, said she was in bed. Like, this doesn't really pass the smell test. He puts up a solid defense, but in May, he is convicted of second-degree murder.
Oof.
And he's sentenced to 30 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a long time.
It really is. He'll be dead, like, twice over by then.
That's two life sentences. Newspapers report near riots outside the courthouse.
Huh.
So, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there.
I'm not sure, like, are all Jim's supporters finally show up to, like...
Yeah, it took him a while, but...
Like, mill about.
It's just the contrarians.
Yeah.
Well, now that he's been convicted, this is bullshit.
But there wasn't really any evidence to suggest that it was actually Jim.
Sure.
So it's all very circumstantial. And so in 1903, he's granted a retrial.
Mm-hmm.
And in the retrial, he is convicted again. But this time he's only sentenced to 15 years.
Oh, okay.
So single life sentence. And he serves five of those years. But then in 1908, North Carolina Governor Robert Glenn pardons Jim Wilcox.
Wow. You've learned your lesson.
You've spent some time in there.
Yeah.
You've been punished enough for making up the worst possible alibi.
I heard you say sorry under your breath, I think, one time. So why don't you get out of here, you rascal?
I heard that she went up to bed. And maybe she did. We don't know that she didn't climb back out of bed and then go throw herself in the river.
Now, since we've all met you, it does become more believable that she would have just thrown herself in the river.
No, we've heard testimony from you for several weeks now. It's all becoming a little clear that, I don't know.
It's always nice, nice to keep that in your back pocket. Always nice to keep that in your back pocket. Be completely intolerable in all situations. So if anybody does die around you, they'll be like, yeah, they probably just couldn't stand you.
He was brooding and socially awkward, so it makes a lot of sense, actually.
Jeez. You should see what his dog did to himself.
I didn't know dogs could do that without thumbs. So he's pardoned. He returns to Elizabeth City. Which is not
ballsy.
The move I would.
Very ballsy.
I would be the opposite end of the country. I'm going to California, my friend. He goes back to Elizabeth City, and he lives quietly and reclusively. In 1932, on his deathbed, Jim reportedly said he wished to clear his name but died before that happened.
Oh, okay.
So it's good to have goals. Now, the Cropsey family, particularly Nell's mother, of course, they never, they're like, this is bullshit. Why? Right. They can't believe he's pardoned.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so they never accept that he's innocent. And for decades, the case remained one of the most sensational in North Carolina history. It got international fame. Actually, the case was reported in Australia.
Mm.
Australian newspapers went nuts describing the trial, the verdict, and the volatile crowds. Not long after the funeral they had for Nell, people started reporting seeing her ghost. She starts being seen in the Cropsey home. Her family members start seeing her in the house.
Mm-hmm.
She is upstairs in the upstairs windows, and she's just standing there looking out the windows at the outside. And her sister sees it, and her mother sees her.
Mm-hmm.
And some other people see her from outside, I suppose.
Do they ask her? This is a good opportunity.
Uh-huh.
You have the chance now to ask her if you can please have her dress. I know you drowned in it, but they said it was really well preserved, and I put it through the washing machine, and it looks kind
of
nice now.
I don't want to be disrespectful, but actually it kind of always fit me a little better than it fit you.
You were always kind of swimming in that dress, if you know what I mean. So,
oh boy. Speaking of that, the ghost is also seen on the riverbank.
Hey.
She's a figure in white, said to appear each year on the anniversary of her disappearance, walking along the edge of the water and then into the water near where they actually found her body.
Hmm.
And if you go around the property today and around the place where she was found and where she drowned, you are likely to feel cold spots. You will hear unexplained noises. You may hear Nell whisper. You may hear Nell cry. And people report feelings of being watched.
Hmm.
They probably are, because they're probably there with their dumb ghost voice recorders or whatever. What are you doing? The Cropsey home still stands today, and you can go check it out. And it is considered one of Elizabeth City's most haunted sites. More importantly, it is considered probably the only haunted site. It is also considered... Go ahead.
I'd say it's one of three buildings standing in Elizabethtown today. So
so they're all fucking haunted. It's also one of the most haunted places in the state of North Carolina.
Mm.
And that is the story of Nell Cropsey and the Cropsey murder.
Hmm.
What do you think? It's pretty good, right?
It was. I mean, it was okay. It was okay.
Yeah.
It was
real easy for me to put together.
It was time well spent.
So yeah.
Time well spent.
Great. I will probably go back to doing manual notes next week for the foreseeable future, I think. But it's nice to keep this in the back pocket. Let's see. You ever been to North Carolina?
Yeah, Charlotte's in North Carolina, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there.
Okay.
So
how was it? Cool.
Not really.
ChatGPT didn't give me any banter to end with. gosh. Well, what else? That's probably it, huh?
Yeah.
Do you feel unfulfilled? Do you want to stick around and do a ghostie?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it.
Okay, fine. I have 30 of them.
Oh, God.
We'll save that. We'll save that for another time.
Yeah, we'll do this 30 next time.
All right. Well, then for now, let's just end this miserable night and just say that Is This a Ghost is a production of Smith Show Media. All the notes this week were very clearly not taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were said with grimaces by Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our social media team consists of Kai Valonis, Jennifer Jones, and Sam Murdoch. Our merch is by Fox and Quill Studios, and they've got some great stuff. Go check it out at isthisaghost.com. Follow us on social media. We're pretty fun. And next week will be better. Next week will be better.
Promise.
I probably promise. Will be better. Probably. If we can keep hand, foot, and mouth disease out of the house for one goddamn week, next week will totally be better. In the meantime,
don't ever go into the dismal swamp. Just don't. Like,
out of the dismal swamp.
It seems obvious, right?
It does. I mean, it does. What's the swamp in Princess Bride? The fire swamp. It's even worse than the fire swamp.
It's down the street from the fire swamp. Don't do it.
Just don't do it. Or else we might be talking about you next time on Is This a Ghost?